Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I'm a pot of gold, but we'll try best that we can to carry on.
Keep in mind, the biggest driver is student population. The population. And that is that goes negative every year. This accounts for that.
And Mr. St. Cyr, along those lines with the student population, there's a number I heard is that since around 2021, we've lost around $50 million in funding because of the vouchers alone. Is that accurate or safe to say?
It is safe to say. We, since the shutdown in 2000, at the end of 2020 fiscal year, school year, to projected current year, right at 4,200 unweighted FTE left the district, some way or fashion.
4,200 students the Escambia School District has lost over the last 5 years since COVID. That's Terry St. Cyr. He is I always forget his title. Escambia. He's the Escambia Assistant Superintendent of Finance. He's talking with Paul Fetzko at the school board meeting, and they're talking about a tax increase because they're talking about the loss of students and the $50 million over the years from people using vouchers and going to private education. And so, what can they change? Well, there's really only one thing they can change, and that's the capital outlay fund.
The only portion you could change would be the capital outlay. Here it's proposed at 1.5 for a total rate of 5.359, generating $185.8 million at 96%.
So they want to raise, it's currently at 1. It's actually like 1.004 mils, and they want to raise it to 1.5 mils, which is the maximum that they can have. And the comments around failing to raise it were pretty strong. Paul Fetzko again.
We have worked as a board diligently to not do tax increases. And we have been very good stewards of the taxpayer dollar. And we are very blessed to have the support that we have in this county with the local option sales tax.
We've tried to keep the rates low, but, you know,
This year, you know, it is so different, and it's almost near catastrophic in terms of what's going to happen budgetarily to us, that we're one of the few districts who haven't had the 1.5 mils for years and years and years. The majority of districts have always gone with the 1.5 and left it there regardless of whether things changed.
And by the way, that's true. In fact, if you look back at the vast majority, I mean, like 50 plus, okay, I think all but just a couple, and we're one of the ones that's not, have 1.5 for that particular fund. That's correct. And Escambia used to. In fact, it used to be 2, and then the law got changed to make the maximum 1.5, and then we reduced it a little bit more. It was 1.5 prior to 2014. It was 2.0 prior to 2008. And then it got reduced to 1.214 from 2021 to 2024. And now they're talking about putting it back up to 1.5. Now, look, math on the radio I know is hard. And I know if those numbers don't mean anything to you, then they don't mean anything to you. Here's kind of the practical effect of this. A mil is a thousandth of the taxable value of your home. So if you have a home that's, and we'll, nobody has a $100,000 home anymore, but let's say you had a $100,000 home, a 1 mil tax is $100 a year. So 100,000, 100. You follow? It's a 10th of a percent, if that helps you. And I know that may confuse you, but I'm just trying to make it as simple as I can. It's a thousandth. Mil means thousand. So if you have a home that's more reasonably worth 300,000, let's say a more normal home, that means a mil is $300. Okay, the total millage you pay in the county is around 12, so you pay about $5,000 a year on a $300,000 home. In the city, it's like 16, so you pay almost $5,000. What did I do there? 12, 16, You pay $3,500 if you're in the county. If you live in the city of Pensacola, okay, and other variations. But generally speaking, that's the idea. So they're talking about a half mil raise for a $300,000 home is $150. So, you know, $12 a month in order to offset the loss of funding because they have lost about 10% of the school population, about 4,200 students over the last 5 years. Because of competition from vouchers, because the state has tried to expand and expand and expand the opportunity to send the funding that would otherwise go to schools, to private schools, even religious schools, in order to create competition for a school system that desperately needs competition, both in terms of price and quality. And so as a result, the public schools, Escambia is certainly no exception to this, have been losing students. And as a result of losing students, they have less money. As a result of having less money, they're coming to you for a tax increase. What do you think about this? 437-1620. This is not an ask by them, by the way. This is going to be a vote. They have the authority to raise it. Other things they'd have to ask you for, maybe. But this is one they can raise without really asking you. They can just do it, and then you have to decide whether you re-vote for them or not. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to report to you right now. If you are on, let's see here, Avalon Boulevard southbound approaching I-10, eastbound, just know that there's some delays. Also, Highway 29 southbound approaching East 10 Mile Road. Got some minor delays there. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the question of the moment, which is, do you support the Escambia School Board asking for a one-half mil raise in the property taxes for you next year for the capital outlay? There's a state required match. It's about 3.1 mils. There's a discretionary operating fund that's about 0.75 mil. And then they're going to raise this one for capital outlay from 1 to 1.5. It has been 1.5 before. It has been 2 before. We are one of the only counties that does not have it at 1.5. We are rare. Our taxes are very low in Escambia County. We're one of the fifth lowest in the state. There are 62 counties over 5 mils already. We're proposing to go over 5 mils. 18 are over 6 mils. Santa Rosa is at 5.398. Okay, so, you know, we're getting more in line with other counties. But why? Well, my read is what we're basically saying is, look, we are losing customers, students, and so we're going to raise prices. Taxes the price of school, right? So there are fewer people coming to the restaurant, and our solution is to raise prices to make up the difference. As a taxpayer, that doesn't make sense to me. As a taxpayer, I think if you're losing customers, you might want to focus on, I don't know, shedding employees. Because if you don't have the, you know, right? Because if you raise prices, you're going to have even fewer employees, at least in a commercial endeavor. It's a little bit different with taxes. But it seems to me like what you're saying is that our business model has been less effective than we hoped for. Maybe cuts are the key. Not raising the price of the thing that's not doing so well. And I mean, that's how I read it. But they brought this up. Look, Tom Harrell brought this up. He said, you know, yes, we maybe need to be looking at cuts because that's what the public is going to ask us about.
That's going to be important because the people are going to say to us out there, what cuts have you made? You know, how have you tightened the budget before you voted on a tax increase? And I think that's going to be important for us to have very detailed answers for that. Because
yeah, I mean, if you're going to justify a tax increase. Now, Paul Fetzko says, you know, look, if I don't vote for this, it's going to be extreme financial hardship for the district for the next 2 to 3 years. Really, really bad. And he hopes that you'll be on board.
So I'm hoping that the community, when they see this, will stand up and say, listen, you've held off for years and years. You've done everything to be good and frugal and prudent and understanding what's not happening from the state level and now from the federal level. The options are one, and that's it.
And that's to vote for this tax increase because he says, I'll let him say it.
If I don't do this, if we don't do this, I don't know how we will make things work without truly harming students and personnel.
Okay, so here's what you've got. You've got a school district that's built for 42-ish, 45-ish, somewhere in that vicinity, 1,000 students. They're down 10% to 37,000. Your school district is too big. Right? I mean, the warehouse is making cars, and they're used to making 42,000 cars, and now they only need to make 37,000 cars, and their answer is to raise the price. Like, to me, this doesn't make sense. To me, I would think, well, let's figure out a more efficient way to use the resources we have instead of asking. No, that's one slice. A different way to look at it, and I think it's fair to acknowledge this, is we have had very, very low taxes for a long time, and compared with other places, we have very low taxes. And so even though this is a tax increase, it is a tax increase from a reduction that they didn't have to give us a couple of years ago to a level that is on par with everybody else. So even though it's a tax increase based on the loss of customers, it's a restoration of the tax rate, the price that it should have been all along. You can make that argument. You can also make the argument that, look, they still do have to educate the other 90% and apparently can't do that effectively with the funding that they've currently got, which is, I mean, I understand that argument too. I tend to look at it this way. All of the discussion, all of the hubbub, all of the argument that we had over the Escambia Children's Trust and still have over that was for a 0.4 mils, you know, right? It's for a half a mil, not quite a half a mil, okay? It's for $40 on a thousand, okay? And here we're just going to drop $50 on a thousand like it's not really any big deal. Well, drop, I mean add. I also view it a little different way. And I got a bunch of texts. We'll get to your texts in just a second because you guys are saying some really interesting things. I'll get to it. I have always and still always hate property taxes. I think they're very unfair. The whole system is crazy to me. But okay, we got to provide for education. I mean, I agree with that. Our constitutional republic, our democratically elected constitutional republic, depends on an educated citizenry. If we don't educate people, then we have real problems. And I mean, we already have problems. We would have real problems. So we got to find a funding source somehow. One of the things that frustrates me is I'm a big fan of the voucher system. I think the money should follow the student because that means the parents are picking the education that they think is best for their kids. And we have long suffered from a government monopoly, which is higher price and lower quality. And we're seeing the effect because 10% of people have already fled, right? And that number is going to continue growing. And I don't think they can keep raising prices when they keep losing customers. Anyway, I have an additional problem with this, which is we homeschooled. And to be fair, my wife homeschooled, okay? I wanted to do it, but she actually did the doing of it. We don't get the voucher. My wife is an engineer. She left work to raise a family. She got pregnant and retired. Paid off our house, got pregnant, retired, and she hasn't worked since for now 21 years. She would be making 50% more than I make for sure if she had stayed in the workforce. She would be making plenty of money in the workforce. She gave that up to homeschool three kids. Well, one originally, but, eventually it was three. The FTE amount is not quite $9,000 a kid, and we don't get any of that. My wife never got paid the scant $25,000, $26,000 a year when she was educating three kids. Now it's one. Okay, we got one in high school now that she's educating. She never got any of that money. She definitely benefited everybody else by taking that workload away from them like every other homeschool parent does. And so we're in the weird position of we pay property taxes like everybody to fund a system that we don't use. In fact, that we help not tax or stress because she homeschools. And she didn't get any of that money. I mean, yes, there's some allowance under the voucher system for compensation for like hard costs and things like that, but it's pretty small and not everybody wants to participate. But, my wife doesn't draw a salary for homeschooling. And now you're asking me for an increase? Hard sell. 724 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. All right, the texts. Oh, my goodness, so many. Somebody says, so raising taxes is the only way to adjust for a loss in your customer base. Somebody likes the bumper music. I appreciate that. Government is the only job that can fail and still get a raise. Somebody says, public schools just need to do a better job and teach fundamentals and they wouldn't lose students. We move all of our sons out to a private Christian school in the last 5 years after all of them from elementary to high school were going leftist woke propaganda pushed on them. Somebody else says, I'd almost rather go to a full 1% sales tax instead of the half cent and let the tourists chip in for educating our kids. Sorry for my voice cracking there. I'm still doing puberty. I should not have to subsidize this. The millage rate should stay the same regardless of the student population. Somebody says, don't give them more money for losing students due to underperformance. Less students means less staff, somebody else says. If they lost over 4,000 students, then corresponding expenses should have gone down as well. My thought is that this should not be a reason to increase local taxes. This should be an opportunity to trim the fat and perhaps decrease local taxes just like a business would have to do. Let's see. That's the Garcon Point Syndrome. Just keep raising the fee and think people are going to use it more. Somebody says, I'm taxed enough already. Somebody says, stop spending tax dollars to private schools and vote for a new school board. Well, those are two different things, but okay. Somebody says they need to ask why people are leaving the school. If the people don't want your product, you don't raise the cost for the people who do. You figure out how to attract them back and bring the money back. Agree. Let's see. And Andrew, your situation is a personal choice, and a lot of parents can't afford private school, nor can homeschool. Well, they can afford private school now. Except there's not enough seats, I think, is the capacity is the issue. But the way you generate more capacity is you divert funding so that funding attracts people to build schools, to do private schools so that they generate money. I mean, this is going to continue to be a problem for the public school system, which I think is good. I mean, it's not that I want people not to go to public school, but I want kids to get the best education, and that doesn't come through not competition. 725 on News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone is experiencing about a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. Also, 98 westbound approaching Garcelon Point Bridge, a 5 to 7 minute delay in that area. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
And somebody suggests, Andrew, you should apply for the Step Up for Students and the PEP program. No, those are good things for costs and tutoring, but they don't cover salary. Like, you're not going to pay my wife to teach the kid the way you would pay her if she was teaching in the school district.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Learning how to deal with criticism is a major part of life for every person. The 26th President of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, helped shed some light on dealing with critics when he said the following, and I quote, "It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, who, at best, knows in the end the triumph of great achievement, and who, at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place will never be with the cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat." Ladies and gentlemen, critics come and go, but I encourage you to continue to dare greatly.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hey, Pensacola. It's Christina Leavenworth with the Leavenworth team at Leavenrinke Realty. Your home is your most valuable asset, so make sure you're hiring a professional, the Leavenworth team. The Leavenworth team has the knowledge and expertise to help you buy or sell your home with confidence. Don't even think about making a real estate move without at least talking to us first. Contact us today at 850-378-1260. The Leavenworth team. Experience matters, and we're here to help.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
I like to teach the world to sing.
Sing with me.
Perfect harmony.
Perfect harmony.
I like to...
Shout to the heart, and you're to blame, darling. You give love a bad name.
Sorry to interrupt your singing of the Coca-Cola ad there, John. Well, I apologize.
It just brought back childhood memories.
I know. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, no damage has been reported after tsunami waves hit the Hawaiian Islands. The tsunami warning issued for all of Hawaii is now downgraded to an advisory. Their governor there is still urging caution, though, and all of this after a massive earthquake hit off the coast of Russia. Marjorie Taylor Greene saying she has no intention of running for governor of Georgia. She went to social media yesterday to dismiss the speculation. She criticized what she called a good old boy system in the state for leaving her uninterested in running. The FDA is cracking.
Can you imagine Marjorie Taylor Greene as the governor of a state?
No.
I can imagine, but I've seen some wild movies.
Go on.
The FDA is cracking down on a powerful substance that's readily available at a lot of convenience stores and vape shops. Federal officials said Tuesday that they're in the process now of classifying what they call 7-0 as an illicit drug. It's a compound that's a byproduct of kratom, which I guess some people call gas station heroin.
Yeah, it's the, I speak outside knowledge if I give too much commentary because I genuinely don't know except what the law enforcement folks tell me. Marjorie Taylor Greene. I guess the problem then would, we'd have to put like a dome around Georgia to protect her from the space lasers.
News. I'm CJ Pop. A multi-faith vigil in a New York City park for the four victims of Monday's deadly shooting inside an office building.
Thy kingdom come.
NYPD Chief of Department John Schell earlier on Fox and Friends.
The crime scene, the video, in 3 decades of doing this was just horrible.
Cops say Shane Tamora used an assault rifle in the attack. No major impacts from the tsunami triggered by the stronger earthquake the world has seen in 14 years for Japan and Hawaii. But what about the U.S. mainland?
Tsunami advisories from Washington State to Oregon State. We do have a tsunami warning for Northern California. That does include Crescent City.
Fox Weather's Craig Herrera and fans of the legendary singer Ozzy Osbourne lining the streets of Birmingham, England right now for his funeral procession. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 81 degrees. The real field temp at about 92 right now in Pensacola. Well, another of Pensacola's favorite traditions, the Blue Angels Homecoming Air Show, will be here in just a few months now.
We are headlong and planning and getting that ready to go and making sure that, you know, the community that loves us so much, then we can do something equally as fun for them.
That is NAS Pensacola Public Affairs Officer Bruce Commins, and reserved seating for that air show going on sale Friday. Box seating at $50 a seat. Flightline chalet seating for $150 per seat. Both options include varying levels of amenities, but of course are not required to attend the air show. That is free and open to the public at no cost. You can purchase tickets online at naspensacolaairshow.org. And again, more information available throughout the week. Those tickets on sale this coming Friday. A man that shot himself in Walnut Hill last week, now facing charges related to having homemade bombs and a hit list. 26-year-old Joshua Dean Hardy was charged with possession of a destructive device using a firearm during a felony and possession of a firearm with a removed serial number. Hardy had reportedly shot himself in the leg accidentally as he was walking in the woods with a rifle last week. Family members said he'd been patrolling their property since an old house had burned down. He thought that was arson. Deputies responded to the shooting location. They say they found Hardy's weapon, and they found a homemade incendiary device attached to a tactical vest. That's when they searched his residence, and they say they found more homemade bombs, bomb-making materials, and a handgun with the serial number removed. Investigators also found what they called an op-4 list of enemies. Hardy now is in the Escambia County Jail on $65,000 bond. A boater involved in the fatal Clearwater ferry crash last April now faces charges for leaving the scene of an accident, speeding, and not maintaining a lookout. Officials say the investigation has been ongoing since that boat crash last April.
Everything sinks to the bottom. Evidence isn't readily available. You can't analyze skid marks the same way on a roadway.
Jose Castro died in the crash. 10 other people were hurt. The ferry operator was also charged for the vessel not having an operational stern light at the time of the crash. Governor Ron DeSantis asking for guidance on making laws about artificial intelligence. The governor was discussing AI policy at the Florida Sheriff's Association conference yesterday. He He asked those at the conference to present ideas for regulating the technology. The governor says AI will be a really important issue that'll need to be tackled in the next several months. Now, the University of Florida's interim president will stay on a bit longer than planned. A school spokesperson says Kent Fox's contract was extended until September. It was originally set to expire tomorrow. The spokesperson says the University of Florida expects to have a permanent president announced by September 1st. Well, today's the start of spiny lobster sports season across the state. Residents and non-residents can catch spiny lobsters today and tomorrow, a limit of 12 per person per day. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you, but if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 7 to 9 minute delay through that construction zone. Let's see here. 98 westbound approaching the Garcon Point Bridge. It's about a 10 to 12 minute delay. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at a chance of some rain today, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. We're also going to be under a heat advisory as temperatures warm back into the 90s, feeling more like the triple digits. High today near 90 degrees, low in the 80s. Going into your Thursday, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 92. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 81. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And it's 81 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies. Real field temp is at about 91 degrees right now. Your next news at 8. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Breaking news, President Trump said that he will not extend Friday's deadline for his reciprocal tariffs on dozens of countries to restart. Trump wrote on Truth Social, "The August 1st deadline is the August 1st deadline. It stands strong and it will not be extended." Luxury car makers Porsche, Mercedes-Benz, and Aston Martin each outline the extent to which U.S. import tariffs have taken their toll. Collectively, the car makers warned of combined costs exceeding $889 million. Oliver Bloom, chairman of the executive board of Porsche, said this is not a storm that will pass. Adidas said it had faced a double-digit million-dollar hit from U.S. tariffs in the second quarter. The sports retailer said that added costs associated with tariffs could total $231 million in the second half of the year. The company also flagged potential risks to consumer demand should U.S. tariffs set off a surge in inflation. Futures are slightly higher. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 18, the NASDAQ up 49. That's Your Money Now.
Your child is 18, and suddenly you no longer have legal access to their medical info, even in an emergency. No health decisions, no financial help, nothing, unless you plan ahead. That's why Trust and Will created the Young Adult Plan. It includes HIPAA authorization, healthcare directives, and power of attorney. Everything your child needs to stay protected and stay connected. Go to trustandwill.com and get your Young Adult Plan for just $69, because turning 18 shouldn't mean cutting parents out of the picture. Trust and Will is an online estate planning service. See website for details.
Ooh, Trust and Will.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mayor D.C. Reeves joins us every Wednesday at about this time. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. I have a couple of sort of quickies I want to make sure I get because otherwise I'll forget and then it'll get pushed off again. I don't know. I don't assume you're familiar. I think we've talked about this before, and I apologize if we have. But Gulf Breeze has a text-based road conditions service called Nixel that is super useful about when anything happens, especially along Highway 98 or the Garson Point or the Bob Sykes Bridge. I have several people asking me, would Pensacola ever consider using that? Would it be useful in Pensacola, given the size of Pensacola compared to Gulf Breeze?
Listen, I think any technology advancement that helps communicate is a good thing. We do have a tech system called Everbridge. It's we've mainly used it, and this is historically, not just in my couple of years here, for emergency basis only. Of course, it's that natural line of do you want to inundate people? Where do you draw the line of what type of updates that every person in the city wants to be getting? Do you do an opt-in that voluntarily? We actually use a service called IndiGov that allows us to email. It scrapes from about 650 different email lists, including supervisor of elections, that allows us to communicate district by district, by age, by any type of demographic change you want. For example, if there's a town hall in District 5, you could send out an email to give or take everybody in District 5.
Email, but not text, sounds like. Is that right?
Technology now.
Email, but not text?
Yeah, correct. Okay. Now, again, we have the capability to do it. Sanitation's got its own. Everbridge is something that we've used before, but we haven't used it to the intensity of those type of updates. It's usually been saved for emergency only. I believe we were using it during the snowstorm the last time I remember us using it for sure.
My own experience of Nixel is that you get a lot of texts. It's opt-in. Okay. So, you pay, you do it to yourself. But when you need it, it's super useful. And, it's the kind of information that people want. Anyway, it was a suggestion and, it might be something to, kind of consider, like you say, as communicating with the public is always good. Recycling has obviously been a big topic over the last couple of weeks. I got a question I don't know the answer to. Somebody asked me, now that we have opt-in only recycling, even though it's early in the program, do we have any data on contamination rates, which had been the problem before? And again, for people who do not know, contamination means people are putting stuff that cannot be recycled. It's not that you have food or that you didn't rinse out your soda can. Nobody cares about that. That doesn't matter. It's you're putting, hoses and bowling balls in with the recyclables. I told them that we probably didn't have data yet. But what do we have data yet?
Yeah, none that's come across my desk, not because it's not being tracked. Again, I think Daryl Singleton, who's running sanitation now, gave an update at the town hall that we had just that Tuesday had taken 4,000 pounds of recycling to ECUA. That was pretty clean. I didn't get the exact number. But listen, I think our higher priority right now is getting people opted in, making sure that they know that they can sign up for it, getting those carts out. All those things. And remember that the education doesn't end right now. I just had someone say, well, only 1,800 people have signed up. We feel like that's pretty good. And again, we have a weekly standing call with the Recycling Partnership. They have done this a million times. And we seem to be trending very well and maybe even ahead of the curve in terms of getting people signed up. It's just going to take time for people to sign up. And
sworn that in the city council meeting or the agenda, one of those, that somebody had said 5,200 cans, that it jumped dramatically.
Yeah.
No, that's not correct?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah, it's not.
Sorry,
it's,
I reported that number, so I'm sorry about that.
So it was 1,800. Now, listen, again, when we pulled it twice for the city, would you be willing to pay $8 to $10 for opt-in recycling? It was 50-50 a couple years ago, and then it was close to 50-50. Last year. So, that's what we're expecting. That would be 10,000. Now, of course, when you have to pay versus filling out a poll might be a little different. So Even conservatively, I think our goal is to get, if we can get to 25-30%, in this first year, I think that would be very strong, which is right around that number.
I'm sure you have, but I'm going to ask the question that I know we talked about this on the wrap on Friday and it's coming in other places. ECUA already provides water and they take care of, sewer for the city. ECUA does, obviously, sanitation and recycling. They do it pretty well. Why not just let ECUA do this? We already have a District 3 and a 4 ECUA member who are already elected officials over this for the city if the city wanted to. Why not just let ECUA do it?
Well, yeah, if you asked me in the last week, that sounds like a better idea. No, listen, here's why. We got a great team out at sanitation, and with change comes anxiety, and with change comes uncertainty, and we're just going to continue to push through that. And honestly, kind of coincidental, I was around some mayors from Michigan this weekend, and two of them were telling me about how they have a private company. I know ECO is different, but they have a private company, and they're overbilling their customers with late fees, even though they were on bill pay, all these things that, you know what, at least if that's us and it's our screw up, we can fix it. We control it. When you give that away, you don't get it back. And so I'm sure every citizen like you is just asking, saying, well, you know, hey, we've had a bumpy couple weeks. What if we just have someone else do it? Yeah. But for the long term, when you go look at the surveys with the Haas Center that we do, mm-hmm. with people's satisfaction with our sanitation department, it's pretty good. So, you know, that absolutely makes some logical sense to say, well, somebody's already doing it in the community, why don't you have them do it? That being said, again, at least we control what happens. And that I think is pretty big for the customer long term, not just in the silo of the last couple of weeks.
Got it. We're talking to D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. Hang on for him for just a second, Mr. Mayor. Let's get traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, through that construction zone, expect about a 10 to 12 minute delay just due to congestion and construction. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. So the latest social media, flare up, I guess, is over the question of parking enforcement and whether parking enforcement officials are going around East Hill or other places looking for people who have parked more than 24 hours in a spot. I know you're well aware of this because you are engaged on social media and you've seen, you know, the posts and the shares and the comments. So let's talk about it. Is anybody from the city, you've had a couple of days, I'm sure, to look into this, is anybody from the city going around and looking for violations like this?
Of course not. And I appreciate the opportunity that we're not necessarily getting from all media for us to actually explain what the rule is. We have a rule in the city, an ordinance, God knows how long ago this was put in, to say that you can't have a car in public right-of-way in a parking spot for more than 24 hours. Now, think about this logistically, financially, every way you want to skin the cat on this, there's just absolutely no way that we could ever feasibly patrol and manage hundreds and hundreds of miles of road for $25 tickets. I mean, that would never happen. It's nonsensical that we'd be doing that. That being said, I kind of think of the Few Good Men line, you want me on that wall, you need me on that wall. You got to have a rule, because if you don't have a 24-hour rule, then now you could have RVs parked up and down everybody's street for months and months at a time, for example, and we would have no enforceability. So, you know, the 24-hour rule is akin, it's almost it's like the open container rule that we have downtown. I don't know that we write a whole lot of tickets.
I'm sorry, there is one?
But it's nice to have, you know, and so the 24-hour rule is a nice to have. And I think if you look at this logically, there's a reason for it. But in this particular case, and with this particular individual who's noticed many, many times about this, we don't try to go do that. We make contact with the person, say, hey, this is the rule. People, we're getting complaints. So I'll tell every neighborhood, if you see someone get a ticket in your neighborhood, it is a 100% guarantee that someone called a complaint in. Either your car's turned around or it's blocking a driveway or something like that. And then what is our choice? We either enforce the rules on the books or we don't. Trust me, this is not something that is good for our time, for our bandwidth, for our energy of our team, any of that. But we have rules that we have to follow that are in the city ordinance. So just rest assured, we are absolutely not and will never be going around proactively in neighborhoods writing tickets. If you see a ticket, it's because a neighbor called and called in against a valid ordinance of the city. And then we usually will give a warning. We usually try to be as peaceful as possible and try to make sure they're aware of it. And then sometimes when someone gets five or six or seven warnings, like in this particular case, was fully aware, had been to City Hall, all that, and then went on Facebook and said, I can't believe I got this ticket. That was a little surprising. But that's the rule, and that's why it's there.
That given the level of scarcity of parking enforcement folks, you know, I understand that answer and appreciate that. I will say the one thing that was true based on the budget presentations is the only place in the city revenue streams that saw an increase was parking. Parking saw a dramatic uptick. Everything else is trending down. And I think the question about that is that because the app is allowing us to actually collect money more efficiently? Is it because you raised rates? Is it because you expand the parking zones downtown? Is it because more tickets are being written? Like, what is the reason? What is the underlying number architecture behind that fact?
Well, if you recall, when we made the parking changes, what we said was we were kind of in purgatory. We were not generating enough revenue to go do anything of any substance to help infrastructure downtown.
Right.
We were netting just about what one little private parking lot was making in the entire city. And you know, when we hearken back to, you know, discussions or complaints about technology, we sometimes forget that not only did we still have technology before I got here, it was actually less quality technology that we had than we have with Park Mobile now. So when we made those changes, we were saying, hey, well, to complete the triangle, you have to come back and say, here's what we're going to do with the money. Now, of course, we post, it's on our Park Pensacola webpage, how we're using the dollars. And of course, projects like Reimagine Palafox, like a parking garage that is going to be needed in the next couple of years that we're looking into now, mainly in that Convendencia area. Well, how are those going to be paid for? And I don't think it's fair to put it only on the 55,000 people who live here. And especially like me and you talked about, when 75 or 80% of the people using our parking downtown don't live in the city, then I feel that it's a more equitable way to help share the cost burden of rising infrastructure costs. So the revenue's up because we've gone from 50 cents to a dollar. We've gone from 7 p.m. to midnight. But as a matter of fact, in June, we actually wrote less tickets in June with more spaces and more hours of enforcement. We wrote 6.5% less tickets in June of 25 than we did of 24. So no, it's not necessarily coming from tickets. It's coming from transactions.
Well, and which is the goal, right? You'd ideally have lots of transactions and zero tickets. That means that, you know, people are participating and they're not having to be punished for failing to participate appropriately. Just one quick thing, and I know this is like unfair to ask you in a quick way, but you're going to have a press conference today. It's going to be at Wahoo Stadium. Are you allowed to say what it's about? I assume there's a reason. It's not just fun to go to Wahoo Stadium.
Yeah, well, it's FSU baseball related. If you recall last year, FSU and Auburn played here. I believe it was the largest crowd to ever watch a baseball game at Wahoo's. And it was a game that, you know, it was fall ball. Didn't even count for anything. It's not in the regular season, but that was an awesome turnout. Great day. And maybe around two. That's what I can tell you.
Maybe round two for FSU baseball at Wahoo State. Okay, all right, I'll take it. That sounds like a lot of fun. This one more quick one, though, is, and this is really unfair to ask, the cuts to childcare, subsidized childcare from the state, it's like 10%, 20%, something like that of the overall. It's going to make childcare unavailable for some, you know, working class poor people, clearly. How does that change play into the overall goal you have of expanding childcare locally?
Yeah, I think it only emboldens us. I mean, because now what we know is if it was already a need with the 2 million, we know it's going to be a larger need without it. And I'm a big believer in this solving. Again, very rarely as a mayor do you get to take on one issue that solves quality of life, education, and workforce development in terms of being able to hold and keep jobs. So I'm certainly, you know, excited for us to come up with what those tactics will be. But I think that news, obviously unfortunate, not what you want to hear, but I think it only emboldens our path that much more to know that we could see being even more of a desperate situation when it comes to childcare in the city.
Yeah, if the problem justifies us doing something, the worst problem justifies us doing something even more. I get that. We always like to end with the lightning round. Quick questions for you, Mr. Mayor. First question for you is, tell me a TV show that everybody loves, that everybody's seen, except DC Reeves.
Game of Thrones.
Oh.
One. It got too far away from me, you know, got 5-6 seasons in, and I just don't have that kind of time.
Catch up.
I committed to not watching it.
Do you have a junk food weakness?
Ooh, Probably whatever's available in the pantry at the time. equal opportunity.
Time to snack is whatever I can put my hands on. Is that what you're telling me?
Right. Yeah. Probably carbs more than sugar. You know.
But, okay. But like potato chips, empty carbs, Bugles, pizza, tater tots. No particular. Just whatever I can find easily.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Whatever's available on shelf two or three in the pantry.
All right. Now this one's very important. So pay attention. When you toast toast, how do you retrieve the toast from the toaster? Do you use a tool, a fork, a knife? Do you pop and grab? Do you invert the toaster? What's your method?
Yeah, it's I'm very consistent with this. This is I actually repop it up.
Yes,
I'm giving it like another. Yeah,
it's it is. It's because you're a sports guy at heart, and this gamifies it, right? This turns it into a physical challenge, right?
That's right. Yeah, I think I went away from the metal into the electric thing pretty early in my days.
Nice. Excellent. Yeah, no, I mean, if you can turn getting toast into fielding a ground ball, I'm in. D.C. Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, as always, thank you for the time. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you. 9 Mile westbound approaching I-10. Going west, we'll see some delays due to an earlier 18-wheeler going off the side of the road there. Also, between Pine Forest and Highway 29, I-10 eastbound between that area through that construction zone, experiencing a 7 to 9 minute delay just due to construction and congestion. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you're 64 turning 65, you're going to change the way health insurance works for you. You're going to go from private insurance over onto Medicare, right? I mean, that's normal. But that comes with apprehension. That comes with people calling you or sending you letters and making you feel stressed out about this whole thing. And you shouldn't be. It's actually very easy. But if you have questions or you want help doing it, Ricky Stewart, she's a good friend of mine. She can help you with this. Her whole family does insurance, and she does this one part where she helps people understand Advantage and prescriptions and supplement and Medicaid, if that applies to you or not, and what's the difference and how does it matter? And if you're retiring instead of getting older, how does that work for you? Well, all of those questions, just ask her. Look her up online, insuredbyricky.com, or give her a call, 341-2185.
Technology instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire marine service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants, backed by over 200 years of combined experience, has helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share. With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs. And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies that gives your business an edge. Let's make 2025 a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader, Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station, the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences, or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call me, Jeff Wayne, at 850-262-6000.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
Joey, you ever hang around the gymnasium?
Oh, you remember, what, a week or two ago we did the question of name a movie, name a song that always makes you think of a movie scene? I didn't even give my wife credit in that. She was the one that came up with that idea from this song, from Rocky IV, yeah, of Apollo Creed getting ready to fight Ivan Drago and his last fight. Anyway, so, but that song was, she's like, you know, whenever I hear that song, I thought, oh, that makes a good frivolous topic. We always do that at 8:40, by the way.
Listen on air at 90.